Welcome to the Therapeutic Food Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Mitchell. I'm an integrative nutrition health coach, therapeutic diet expert, and founder of The Road to Living Whole. There are many different diets out there. It's hard to know which one is right for you with your chronic illness and autoimmune disease. In this podcast, I'm going to share with you the foundational pieces every single therapeutic diet out there shares, and also how to use the best one for your particular diagnosis. If you've been looking for a meal planning partner, help navigating the complicated healthcare system, and want to feel better quickly, I'm your girl. Grab your kombucha and notebook. Let's dive in. Welcome back, everybody. I'm so excited for today's episode. I have two wonderful guests with us, and we're going to talk about the gut health and anxiety connection and maybe a little bit of acne in there too, which I know is a huge struggle for most women and men these days. So I'm really excited to really dive into this. And ladies, I'm just going to let you introduce yourselves, share your story, how you got into nutrition and podcasting, and then we'll dive into the topic of the day.
Great. Yeah, no, lovely to meet you. Thanks for having us here. I'm Ateva. I'm a registered nutritional therapist, one half of the podcast, and I'll let Laura do the introducing for the rest.
Hi, I'm Laura. I'm the friend who's been taught all about nutrition. Ateva and I met quite a long time ago. She's great. She's been really helpful, giving me hints and tips of how to deal with anxiety, acne. And I just kind of asked the questions that normal people would ask. So yeah, thanks for having us on, Marianne. It's really nice to meet you.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. What I love about your podcast and everything is just really explaining it in layman's terms. Mm-hmm. I feel like nutrition can be this really complicated thing, and anything that we can do on our front to make it easier for people is always like a good idea. So how did you guys get, or Ateva, how did you get into the gut health anxiety connection?
Because that's something I struggled with for most of my life, honestly. So I had quite bad IBS and quite severe anxiety and acne. That's why I decided to study nutritional therapy, because nothing was really working for me in terms of doctors and things like that. And I just found the information quite confusing, didn't know what to do. So I thought, what better way to try and remedy it than, you know, learning it myself. And then through seeing clients in clinic, I've just seen the massive impact that these things have on people. And the most common issue that people come to me with is gut health. And I think it can make such a huge difference to your quality of life, having any of those three issues, like acne, anxiety, or gut health, but altogether as well, especially is so massive in terms of how it impacts your, you know, enjoyment of life. So I just found it a very rewarding kind of area to work in, and seeing the progress and kind of freedom it gave people, I decided to specialize in those areas.
Could you go more into your story? Like, what was your struggle with gut health? What symptoms were you having, and how did you stumble across food as a solution or a piece of the solution puzzle?
Sure. I mean, I think it's, Laura and I always say on the podcast that it's hard to know that you're so unwell when you've always felt that way. So when I wasn't super aware of the fact that I was so unwell, but I just knew that I was always really anxious about going places. I would never walk into a room if I thought everyone was already there. I'd get so worried about doing anything or anything I said to somebody. I'd think about it again and think, oh, did I sound silly? You know, so much self-doubt and anxiety about basically anything you can think of, you know, filling up my car with petrol. I'd be like, oh, what if something happens and I look stupid to the person at the forecourt? Just anything, my anxiety would manifest. And I'd have a lot of physical symptoms in terms of restlessness and heart palpitations and things. With my gut health, it was, I mean, I don't know how much detail you want me to go into. I'll try and keep it.
All of it. You have to think, the audience listening is dealing with chronic illness. So they're dealing with long-term debilitating laundry list of symptoms. So the more that we can say, hey, this is where I've been and this is where I am now, I think is really helpful.
Sure, that's fine. I just didn't know if people would be squeamish or, you know, not want to know the details. But yeah, I mean, I have what you would technically describe, or doctors would diagnose as IBS, which, as we cover in our podcast, isn't technically a real thing. It's more of like an umbrella term of symptoms.
I don't know what's wrong with you, so here's the name.
Yeah, basically, it's like, oh, here's something, but we don't know what caused it. We don't know how to fix it. But there you go, you've got a diagnosis. So it would be things like constant bloating, constantly going to the toilet, loose stools all the time. If, you know, I was telling a story on one of our episodes about a guy asked me out at a restaurant and I was like, oh yeah, great. And when I was due to meet him, oh my God, I just had absolute bowel evacuations. It was horrible because I was so nervous. Like my anxiety would just trigger the IBS so badly. And my life just consisted around thinking, where was the next toilet? Or, you know, just worrying about going on long journeys and things like that. So yeah, indigestion, anything really, you name it, would be a problem. A lot of food poisoning type situations as well, because my gut was so sensitive. And yeah, just always having sort of like bowling ball belly is what I would describe it. Mm. Just sort of like, you know, there's a lot of bloating because there's so much gas there. So yeah, that was kind of things that I would just deal with day in, day out, and was kind of the norm, although I knew that that wasn't normal. Like it just felt like that was how I was living my life, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a best friend who struggles, still does. It's gotten better over the years when she's taken my advice here and there. But it took her getting really severe before she was like, okay, I'll try it your way. And then, of course, you know, clients that come and are dealing with that too. Like, I feel like it might feel like embarrassing or like TMI, but I feel like it's just unbelievably common in so many people's lives. And they know it's not normal, but they're told that there's not much they can do about it. And I think that, you know, they're just kind of frustrated.
And I think you have to reach a pain point where it becomes too much, because you reach a tipping point where you think, I'll do anything now because this is just having too much of an impact on my life, that I don't care. I'll face the embarrassment of talking about my stool habits rather than have to put up with this any longer.
Yeah.
And that's the point I think I reached, where it was just having too much of an impact on my life, that I wanted to change it, really.
Awesome. And Laura, what's your story?
So I struggled like with acne, still do on and off, like Otavia was saying, and I've tried lots of different things to kind of combat it. Anxiety for me is probably my worst enemy at the moment. I don't struggle too much with gut health, thankfully. That's something that's not been too bad for me. However, like Otavia was saying, when I'm nervous or something has really upset me, I will need the loo. And it's just insane how it can affect your body like that, anxiety. Mm. It's just crazy. So I've learned so much, you know, doing this podcast, which is obviously, if I'm learning, then the listeners are learning too. Otavia, I don't even think I've told you this, but we were talking recently about having too much dairy around periods, that kind of thing. So I deliberately cut down, I would say probably by half, my dairy intake, and my last period was significantly lighter. Yay. At night particularly. I know, and I haven't even told you this, but I was just like, this is insane, because my periods are so super heavy. I know it's a bit too much info, but I did, like you said, I think it's a good thing to be open about these things, because so many people struggle and they're just too embarrassed to say. But yeah, that's been a recent thing for me, which is something I'm going to kind of use again, I think, in terms of periods and kind of managing the heaviness of them. But yeah, I think overall there's so much misinformation out there about nutrition. And like you were saying, your friend finally said, oh, I'll try this. It's almost like a last resort for some people to go to a nutritional therapist. So you're kind of relearning stuff or throwing out everything that you've ever kind of learned. And I don't think this stuff on TikTok particularly is very helpful for people, because it might not be what you need. So I think that's why we like to debunk. We like to like make everything transparent so that people can actually use and implement what we're saying if they wish to.
Yeah, and give information it's not super vague, or it's not looking at other things like, oh, you shouldn't have this, and it's looking at what's the real problem, or quote unquote problem is your gut health, for example. So instead of, oh, you can't have this food, but you can have this and that will help with your microbiome, blah, blah, blah. That's just so overwhelming. Like, well, I do eat probiotics, or I don't eat probiotics. Like what I can have this food, but I can't have that food, or I should not be stressed ever, which is not realistic, right? We look at the actual root cause of it and why these things have an impact, but really it needs to come back to you and your gut health and how we can support that, or your anxiety, things like that. Yeah, we just like to feel that we help women especially, but people in general, be empowered to understand what's going on, because then they can make decisions to, you know, try and improve their health. rather than just feeling even more confused when they first start listening.
We have the same mission. Mm-hmm. My goal is always to inform and empower and give places to start. So let's talk about the gut health and anxiety connection, and then we can kind of spider out from there and talk about, you know, how gut health can impact things like our hormones, which acne is often related to that, and even anxiety is too, and all of that. So let's start with the meat and potatoes. Let's talk about gut health and anxiety. I know that this is a huge, huge problem, as we've already talked about. And it's like, it's almost feels like it's too easy of a fix, especially if you've been, you know, on medications and trying all the things and cognitive behavioral therapy and talk therapy and blah, blah, blah. It almost feels like, again, it's almost like a last resort. Okay, nothing else is working. Maybe it should be a first resort. And let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think something that people forget is you have to have three pillars. You have to have three areas of foundation. You have to have mental health, spiritual health, and physical health. Because if you don't have one of them, then nothing's going to ever be 100% well, if you kind of say it that way. And I think personally, in my experience, having gone through seeing someone, a nutritional therapist, while I was learning to be a nutritional therapist, and seeing how much of a difference my anxiety, you know, it had on my anxiety, and how I was so much more calm and less anxious after years of therapy that didn't really work, I was like, wow, that's incredible. Because there are so many things that play into anxiety and your gut. For example, you know, you can have a really sensitive blood sugar. So if you're eating not enough protein and you're having too much sugar, then that's going to trigger anxiety. It's not necessarily the cause, but it can drive it. And in terms of gut health, I mean, if you have a poor microbiome, so you don't have a great composition of different bacterial strains that you need in your gut houses a lot of your serotonin, for example. So you're not ever going to have a healthy level of certain brain chemicals and mood balancing hormones if your gut's not healthy, because they're going to not live it. They're not going to thrive in that environment. So if you're not looking at your gut, which houses most of your feel-good hormones, then no matter how much therapy you do, you might not actually see a physical difference. You know, mentally and cognitively, you can see a change, but not necessarily physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to actually struggle with depression and anxiety in my late teens, early 20s, mm-hmm. and changing my diet, you know, and I didn't recognize it at the time, but I could always see when I was spiraling, but I couldn't stop it, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, and then when I started just kind of cleaning up my diet and things like that, and then trying all the don't eat this, eat this, you know, and kind of just on my 7-year journey of going through the whole try and eliminate strategy, it was really amazing. Like, that was the one thing I noticed was like, oh, I don't even start the spiral anymore. I'm able to capture a thought. Like all the therapy helps me capture the thought. But when I was really unhealthy and my gut, my microbiome was really unhealthy, I could recognize that it was happening, but I couldn't stop it. It was a very interesting strategy. And then of course, as I went to school and I learned about it, then I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because if the physiology isn't balanced, then no amount of thinking in the world can change it, right? Because the physiology isn't as it should be.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that happened was as my gut health improved, I was able to absorb nutrients. My hair color went from a dirty blonde to a medium brown. Like, wow. And I guess it was just like I wasn't getting the nutrition I needed. So my hair was like this ashy blonde color. So it's kind of gray, which is in style now, which just doesn't really feel fair. Because I was like always coloring my hair and stuff all the time. But it was just so interesting to be like, whoa, the power, like, and you know, knowing what I know now, I was like, yeah, that makes, I can't believe I was that nutritionally depleted. It makes sense that I struggled with this laundry list of items.
Wow. That's insane. I did not know that that was even a thing. I didn't know that could happen. Wow. I've heard of people going on certain diets like keto and the gray hair growing back with color, which is so weird. But I did not know that was a thing. That's mad.
Yeah. Our nutrition can directly impact the quality of our hair, the texture of our hair. And, you know, like if we... if you lack copper, it can change like the composition of your hair. You can start falling out. You start eating foods with copper, or being able to absorb it and use the nutrients correctly. And yeah, your hair and nails are a huge indicator of health. But it was really weird to go from blonde to like brown. Like I was like, well, my hairstylist was like, you were here and now you're here. And I was like, I don't know. it was really crazy. And then, yeah, my nails used to be really weak and brittle, and then they became a much stronger. I was actually able to like put fake nails on, which I don't recommend now, but you know, special occasions. And then you can literally see the thickness when they were like growing in, like they were really thin and you could see the nails like growing in like thicker. It was super interesting.
Wow.
That's incredible. I think that's what people forget is your gut. That's why we always start with the gut. Like we don't look at anything else before we've looked at the gut, because if you don't have a healthy gut, you're not going to absorb nutrients. And then, for example, with the anxiety, if you're not absorbing any proteins, for example, you can't make the hormones that you need to feel calm and balanced. So you can try all the relaxation in the world, but if your gut's out of whack, it's, you know, it's not going to touch the sides really.
So I think what I'm hearing is anxiety is a symptom, not a cause, almost.
I think it can, I think it can work both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it can work both ways, but I think they're quite, they are definitely interlinked. But I think like Laura said, for example, she doesn't necessarily struggle with sort of any gut symptoms day to day, but then her anxiety can trigger, like that's the trigger for you, isn't it? With your gut mm-hmm. health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's never something dodgy I've eaten, because like I said once on a previous podcast, I've been out to dinner with people and eaten the same thing and they've got sick. I haven't, but then something happened like in my personal life and I literally like ran to the loo because it's the first thing to go with me. I remember I had to, I was in a band and we had to perform on stage and I'd never done a big gig before. And I was on that loo in and out in I was empty, you know, and I couldn't even eat before I went on stage. Like when the adrenaline kicked in, it was fine. I was okay. But just leading up to it, the anxiety, it will always be what triggers that reaction in me, I think, or nerves, mm-hmm. massive nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think because we've done an episode on this about how to identify if it is the anxiety that's triggering your gut health or if it's your gut health that's triggering the anxiety. And I think the kind of trick is to see how quickly your symptoms come on. If you have generally long-standing anxiety or kind of what we call chronic anxiety, or it's always there at some kind of level and can peak and trough, but it's always there, then it's generally you need to look at your gut health first. But if it's sort of short, sharp gut health issues from anxiety, from an environmental thing, and your anxiety generally isn't an issue, then maybe it's the fact that you were just anxious about something and that triggered gut health, mm-hmm. if that kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of look at the gut health connection, for example, we look at the vagus nerve. So we've done quite a few episodes on the vagus nerve, which is, you know, quite a popular one.
Yeah,
at the moment,
I haven't actually talked about that on the podcast. So let's introduce people to that and what it does and how it can impact us.
Yeah, sure. Laura, do you want to, I don't want to put you on the spot. I know we've done a couple of episodes on it. Do you remember the ins and outs or?
Well, I remember because when you said the vagus nerve, I thought it was just like one tiny nerve, like the pineal gland or something like that. I didn't realise that it was this nerve that runs like all down your spine. It all connects a lot of the organs together as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it can be affected. You can affect it and sort of it's part of your, is it sympathetic nervous system?
Oh, is look at it? She knows all the lingo.
Go me. But there's certain yoga positions, I think. Is it downward dog that you can use to calm it down or kind of hack it in a way so that it then has a knock-on effect on your anxiety?
Yeah, oh my God, smashed it. Yeah, so 100% she remembers that. I'm so proud. Yeah, the vagus nerve kind of connects from your, I think it's the bottom of your spinal cord, and it goes down your, like through your chest cavity and connects to a load of different organs, like your heart, your adrenal glands, your stomach. But it intertwines with, so yeah, it's like a bunch of nerve endings, and it intertwines with the mucous membrane inside your gut, so inside your intestines. But what it's responsible for is feelings of calm. And it's basically the nerve that we want to activate to induce feelings of calm. And it's sort of like, if you imagine it like a muscle, the more that you use it and the more that you activate it, the stronger it becomes. So like Laura was saying, there are certain yoga poses that literally activate the vagus nerve, or things like mindfulness, it increases vagal tone, which means that your vagus nerve is strong. So for example, if there was some huge, I don't know, muscly person at the gym, I tried to push them over, I probably wouldn't be able to because they're too muscly, right? But if there was someone who is quite weak and didn't have a lot of muscle composition, that would be easy to push them over. If you have like a really strong vagal nerve, then anxiety inducing things can happen, but because your vagus nerve is strong, you don't respond with the same intense anxiety. So the triggers are there, but they don't activate you as much. But it literally weaves into, so imagine like two fingers interweaving, like two hands interweaving, it interweaves into the gut and they connect with each other. So the vagus nerve is sort of like a messenger between your brain and your gut, and they literally communicate. So if you have any kind of issue with your gut, you have some inflammation or you have poor microbiome, the messages that it will be sending back is there's a problem down here, there's something wrong. So the vagus nerve will be sending danger signals to the brain. And then vice versa. So if you're thinking things that are anxious or stress-inducing thoughts, it'll be saying to the gut, something's wrong here. And it'll be releasing things like cortisol, stress hormone, and that can impact your gut microbiome. And then it can, you know, activate fight or flight, can lead to things like bloating and gas and loose stools. So they're quite interconnected. It has quite a massive impact on each other.
Yeah, that sounds really woo-woo. To like the non like health person, like if somebody's like just kind of stepping into the natural health or empowerment health world, you know, where you're owning your own health, it sounds really out there.
Yeah, I mean, it does, but there's a lot of studies you can look up that prove that it's a thing, and it's literally there inside your body. Like if you want to do an autopsy on someone, you can see the vagus nerve. I wouldn't recommend it, but you know, there are studies that literally show that this has an impact. And the more that you know, I think that we I think it's good to be based in science, but it's also we like to look at people's experience of it as well. So I've never had a client in clinic say to me that didn't help. So I literally have people who I work with who have brain damage, like brain damage to their vagus nerve and their brainstem, and they get IBS triggered from that because the vagus nerve is interlinked. So if you have any inflammation in your brain or your vagus nerve, then it can, you know, that inflammation will travel into your gut. So it is rooted in science. But I appreciate that. It sounds a bit like, oh yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's not something you learn in like high school biology, or even I took human biology in college. That was not a thing that I learned or talked about. Just the power. That's why deep breathing works, or box breathing, because it massages the vagus nerve and kind of helps you calm down. And it's like, is it really that simple? Right.
This is a thing. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Sometimes I still get that in clinic. I remember my first ever client who came to me with horrendous panic attacks, an awful immune system. She was always getting flus, like six a year, debilitating. And she had a panic attack before coming to see me. And I remember figuring out what was going on with her, and she basically had a latent virus that was still in her system that was depleting all of her nutrients and causing a lowered immune system, and then that was causing a lack of B vitamins, which was basically causing the panic attacks. And I remember giving her a plan. She came back in 6 weeks and she was a completely different person. I thought I was being punked. I was like, is it that simple? And I still get that with clients now. I'm like, really, was it that straightforward? But because things have become so overcomplicated, because we've had health taken out of our hands a lot of the time. We don't know anything about it. It's been made to be in the medical model, and we don't understand any of it. It's purposely disempowered us, I feel. Mm-hmm. And it's purposely overcomplicated, when actually it's really, and that's what I say to people, it's honestly not that complicated. I have people come to me who've worked with gastroenterologists for 25 years, and they're at the end of their tether, like you said, Laura. It's like their last resort. Oh, I tried nutritional therapist. And within 2 months, they're like, I cannot believe that my issues are basically gone. Why did no one tell me this? But because unless you learn it, you don't know it.
Yeah, I know. I've had doctors tell my clients, and even tell me at like weddings and stuff, they're like, food matters, but no one sticks with it, so why bother?
Great. That's a great way to approach health, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm like, you're the expert that people listen to. Like if every doctor was saying, hey, what you eat matters. It would completely revolutionize healthcare. Unfortunately, that would also mean a different business model, because they'd have less patients to see and less pharmaceutical kickbacks, and you know, and health insurance really dictates what doctors are allowed to say these days. And it's a whole thing. So let's talk more about the gut health and how that can not only impact anxiety, but what other things can it impact? throughout the body?
Oh, I mean, where do we start? Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it you know, it's to do with the nutrients. If you're not absorbing any nutrients, you can have so many issues. But something we talk about on the show is how the gut is one of the main excretion points, right? So anything that you've got in your body that you don't want, anything that's toxic, you want to, you know, get rid of it through your bowel movements. If your gut is compromised and it's not working properly, then those toxins are going to sit there. So when I say toxins, it can literally be just estrogen that needs to be recycled, but that can become toxic if we have too much of it. So this is, I'm really sorry that my cat is interrupting our recording. So this is something that happened with me personally with my acne experience, was that my gut was so compromised that I wasn't clearing out any toxins. So I had such a high estrogen level that the estrogen was just going around and around my system. So then your body is, you know, wants to be well. So it's like, we need to get rid of this toxin. We don't care how, we just need to get it out. What's the final detoxification pathway of the body? The skin. So it pushes it out through the skin. So if you have anything like eczema or psoriasis or acne, anything on the skin, that can certainly be from the gut, as I'm sure like you know, listeners probably know some of this as well. If you have inflammatory levels in the gut as well, you know, if your gut's inflamed through, for example, food intolerances that haven't been identified, or, you know, if you have non-celiac gluten sensitivity, so it's non-celiac, but you do have that gluten sensitivity, which a lot of people have nowadays. I think it's 13% of the population have that. As every time you eat that, your gut's thinking that there's something, there's a pathogen in there. So I need to release inflammatory molecules to get rid of that. But you've got them going around your system all the time. So you're going to have anything that's an inflammatory condition, usually is your skin, right? So it's going to be things like eczema and dermatitis and stuff. Yeah, I mean, there are so many things that the gut can impact: hormone levels, periods, yeah, loads of stuff, because it regulates all of your hormones. So anything, you name it, and I can tell you how it's caused by the gut.
Yeah. Laura, you've talked about acne and your experience with that, and, you know, all the learning that you've done and how it's impacting your skin. What are some of the things that you've done that have worked, that have actually helped? Because I know it's an ongoing struggle for us women in general. I used to get horrible cystic acne around my period, those huge, painful, large zits on my chin. And then when my daughter was about a year, I got this like horrible acne, like scars, like all over my cheeks and my face. And it was totally hormone related. And at the time I was eating really clean and all this stuff. And it ended up being a combination of I'm sensitive to cocoa, to chocolate, so I can't eat a lot of it, and a few other environmental factors. So I think it's really important to talk about, but like you as kind of maybe not, you're as a person learning, and, you know, what have you tried and, you know, that has worked up until this point?
Okay, stuff I've tried. Firstly, I'm sorry about the chocolate thing. That just sucks hard, especially like if you know your period's on its way, like that's when you need the chocolate. Having said that, I cut mine down and I was eating dark chocolate. I know it sounds like silly, but it had so much less dairy in it, so it wasn't so bad. I had an intolerance test many years ago, not for Otavia, before I think we met. And they found out that I was gluten intolerant. So I stopped eating gluten for a while, and everything improved. My skin, yeah, everything. Like, my skin was super clear. Like, my lashes were thicker, and like you said, my nails were better. Unfortunately, I still kind of fall off the wagon a bit. Not unfortunately, but where I work, they kind of supply food on site, so it's hard to kind of have a special diet when you're working there. Yeah, definitely for me, wheat is a massive thing. Dairy, when I have cut them out, they have made a significant difference to my skin. I don't tend to use much makeup. I use herbal products on my skin, so I don't really think that it could be those, but I do feel that, like you're saying, it's cystic that I get, is those big ones that push up from underneath the skin. They really kind of throb. I feel like they're probably hormonal. But yeah, I definitely find when I give a swerve to the things that my body obviously doesn't like so much, then that is when I see a sort of clear in sustained improvement.
Awesome. I love that you see that pattern. When the acne was really bad, were you using more of the mainstream like cleaning products and lotions and makeup and things like that? And then you kind of switched to more of the herbal and the cleaner products at that point?
I think I switched to herbal moisturizer about 20 years ago, and I haven't really swayed from that too much. But I never used any like the ones you buy in the shop for acne or anything. I never used any medication for it. I am embarrassed to admit that I did try anti-dandruff shampoo on my skin because it did dry the spots out a bit. And then I found out what was in it and I was like, oh, I'm never going to put that near my face again. But I don't really tend to wear foundation either. I just use powder to cover the spots that I have got. But yeah, I try and keep it all as natural as I can in terms of skincare, definitely.
Awesome. And then when you do go gluten and dairy free and you avoid those foods that don't agree with you, do you notice other improvements, not just on your skin, but maybe in other ways, energy, sleep, mood?
Yeah, definitely. I would say it definitely affects my mood, my energy levels. I just always would have more energy because I'm not really a fan of the sort of substitutes and stuff like wheat-free this, wheat-free that, because like Atavia's pointed out many times, there's plenty of stuff in there that's no good for you just because it hasn't got the thing you're not meant to have.
Right.
So then I was eating a lot cleaner. I would just have more salads, probably have more like lentils, pulses, stuff like that, loads more. So everything improved because I was substituting it with healthier food. Definitely. And yeah, mood and energy level was definitely a massive change.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for sharing your story. I love hearing from the people who are actually going through it, because I mean, I come at it from like, I've been doing this for so long that like it's been years since I've really struggled with symptoms. I mean, I'm recently recovering from adrenal fatigue, and that was just kind of like life just got really stressful for a really long extended period of time. And then my body just like, I got safe and my body just crashed. I've been eating real food and doing this for so long that it's really a fun reminder that of the people who are kind of still in the process of figuring out how to make it their lifestyle and what they feel versus what they don't and all of that.
Yeah, definitely. And like Atavia, she's just taught me like so much about these things, just learning, you know, maybe the subjects that she brings to the table are not something that I've particularly asked about, but I will always pick something up. She'll always teach me something. And once I've learned it, it kind of stays in my head as well. And that's why it's nice having this kind of like conversational situation, because I think you're more likely to absorb more.
Yeah. Yeah. You basically have your own health coach like twice a week, which is so fun.
Yeah. You can't ask for more, can you? You cannot.
And that's what I think why we designed and came up with the podcast in the first place, was for it to be entertaining as well. So it's not something, because we're just trying to find podcasts on nutrition, and a lot of them when I was looking was quite dry or so science-based, and I would just find myself zoning out, like these aren't, you know, they're not enjoyable to listen to. So we wanted something that was enjoyable and entertaining, because sometimes we'll talk about, you know, things that are, you know, relevant to our lives, it's happening at the moment, or just, you know, we'll joke around or, you know, try and provide some entertainment. But we also, you know, want to deliver information that's easy to remember and maybe isn't anecdotal as well. And it's not so science heavy that it's not relatable. It's something that people can actually understand and then implement into their lives if they want to.
Yeah, it gives people a place to start. So going to that, if we're going to think about anxiety and gut health, or maybe gut health and acne and things like that, where do you recommend people, like, what is something they can walk away with today and be like, I'm going to try these things and see what happens?
I mean, I think personally, I'm a big fan of the vagus nerve, because it's something you can just do. You could literally do it right now. So if you look up our podcast, Teaching My Friend Nutrition, and type in vagus nerve, you'll see the ones that show how to strengthen your vagus nerve, or why you shouldn't ignore it for anxiety, sorry. And we'll say in that episode things that you can do to strengthen your vagal tone. That is something that can show you quite quickly whether your anxiety responds to it. And there's no downside really to trying, you know, to activating your vagus nerve. So that's my personal favorite because it's something everyone can do quite easily straight away, and it will be having a positive impact on your anxiety and your gut. I think in terms of gut health, it really depends on what, you know, where someone is at the moment. Mm-hmm. But something that we quite enjoyed talking about was the Blue Zones. We, you know, the documentary that was on Netflix recently, which was about secrets of the Blue Zones, how to live to 100. And something they do, which has had a positive impact on their gut health, is to stop eating when they're 80% full. So they'll never eat to the point where they're super full or they feel sick because they've eaten too much. So kind of just cutting down a bit on how much you eat to what point you eat, or having like a 12-hour period away from food at night. So having your last meal at 7 p.m. and your first meal at 7 a.m. because that's been shown to reduce bloating hugely and any kind of inflammatory conditions in the gut. A lot of people have inflammation in the gut and that can cause constipation and pain. That can be really quite a simple thing to implement for a lot of people. And in terms of acne, I think that's the one that is the most tricky. And that's one that people struggle to know where to start with. And I'll be honest, I think that is the one that probably takes a lot more work. But something that we talk about is looking into hormonal testing for acne, because it's really important to see what your hormones are up to, because it is 95% of the time caused by hormones.
Yeah.
So that's the one that's a bit more tricky to kind of implement right away.
Yeah, I will say I had a friend who was struggling with severe cystic acne scars, everything for years. And she was trying all of the home remedies for estrogen dominance and all this stuff. Mm. She finally gave in and got testing done. And it turned out her estrogen was incredibly low and her progesterone was unnaturally high. And that was the root cause of her anxiety. So you see on like social media, everybody's like, estrogen, estrogen, estrogen. I'm like, any imbalance can cause problems on the skin. And I'm a big fan of test, don't guess. I'm also a big fan of food sensitivities. I find that especially for people who are dealing with problems chronically, that it can be a huge piece of the puzzle, because we can actually see if your gut's even absorbing anything. Or, you know, because sometimes people will like, oh, I didn't respond to any food. I'm like, that's not normal. They're like, yay, I'm not allergic to anything. I'm like, no, that means you're not absorbing your food, you know. But then also finding like, okay, your gut's really leaking. You're responding to everything. So we need to heal that. And then we can kind of see what you learn to trust your body and find your trigger foods, because you'll find out pretty quick. But yeah, I think from my perspective is, I would say clean up your diet, start eliminating the highly processed foods. To me, that's like a big place to start. Just start adding in some real food, add in some eggs with breakfast or some sausage or something real versus just like cereals or breads or things like that. And try adding stuff in that's just real at that point. And then I'm a big fan of stimulating the vagal nerve. My favorite one that's really easy for people to do is box breathing, where you breathe in for four, you hold it for four, you exhale for four, you hold it for four, and repeat that four times. It can significantly help with that. And then also finding somebody you can talk to about it. Like just being able to talk things out can help so much with a lot of stress and inflammation in the body. So it's like, you don't have to get really complicated. I think that those are just like my three where I would start. And then when it comes to acne, after you clean up everything, is go to somebody who specializes in hormones. It's going to be something you're going to pay for cash. Your doctor's not going to run the correct tests.
No.
It's, at least here in America, they don't test anything. I don't know how it is in the UK. It looks like it's the same. Yeah.
Pretty much same. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they'll test your hormones, and they test the very basic ones. And then people say, oh, they seem fine. And I'm like, firstly, they've not really looked at what they need to. And secondly, it's not fine. It's just not severely deficient. I think Laura had a test for iron, right? And we both had this experience. Tell them what happened. Tell them what happened.
It's so funny. I was just thinking about that. So I went to my GP and they did like a basic, because I said, can you test my ferritin levels and all that stuff? So I never heard back, and I called them and I'm like, is there anything wrong with my blood? Like, no, it came up in the normal range. And I said, well, can I have a copy of the test? So the I think the range for ferritins or blood anemia or whatever went from 11 to 120. And I was on 12, but because it fell in the normal range, they didn't let me know. But obviously I needed a supplement. I was like, oh my goodness. So yeah, I've been taking like gentle iron for years now. But yeah, that's kind of what you can expect here, unfortunately. And not everyone's the same, but yeah, it's not that in depth, is it, Otavia?
No, it's not. It's very basic. And it also kind of falls out of, I hate to say it, but falls out of their remit. Like, I wouldn't prescribe anyone medication. So but the GPs kind of, they don't really say that that's not really their remit. But yeah, it's kind of quite basic. But I think I really like what you said about the processed foods. And we talk a lot about, we've got an episode about the top three foods to eat for acne, anxiety and gut health, because a lot of the time it's about what not to eat. And we talk about the crowding out method, which is quite popular with people. So, okay, so don't worry so much if it's too much of a stress to think about cutting everything out. Let's just crowd it out by just putting more foods that are health beneficial in. So, okay, you're having cereal for breakfast. Well, what about having some berries and some, you know, nut butter, whatever it is beforehand, and some coconut yogurt, and then you're going to be more full. So you're not going to want to have loads of, you know, sugary cereal, basically. Having big salads, you know, because I'm half Greek, so that's a huge thing for me. I love salads. I hate the winter, it makes me sad because I can't have salads. But having salads before dinner, so when you are eating dinner, you're not going to have as many carbs. The carbs that you are having are being digested more slowly because of the salads that are already there, so you're not going to have a huge blood sugar spike. But it's just nice to think about, what can I add in rather than cutting all of this out, and then what do I replace it with?
Yeah, I don't like, I mean, I deal with people who are really sick and they're going on specialized diets, but I'm like, I'm always like, are we at a point where I can lead in, where we can take where we're at and lead in before completely overhauling, right? And my ideal is when somebody's not super sick and they're trying to prevent getting more sick, because then I can do more of a natural crowding out method, because that is ideal. I think it's just starting where you're at with what you're comfortable doing that doesn't take a lot of thought, and let's just add something in to every meal. And then that adding in, you feel so much better. Then they're like, okay, well, what else can I do? And I was like, well, you know, that I'm like this food specifically has all of these ingredients, and here's what they do. And I'm like, and here's an option, right, that could be an easy substitute that you can still get at the same store. And it's like, it's kind of like doing that. And it's a much more natural, healthy process. And people be like, oh, but I want to feel better now. I feel like crap. And I'm like, give yourself 2 months of doing this, you're going to feel night and day different.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's keeping it achievable as well. Because if you say to someone, you need to completely cut this out, you can't have this, you can't have that, you'll have to eat this, it gets overwhelming. And what happens is people just don't do it. And I'm a perfect example of that. If it's achievable and a small little thing that I can change or add in, and it makes me feel happier inside that I'm making a small change, then it leads on to like more control, a bigger change. And you start eating more different foods and stuff. And like you say, Tavia, you don't get the sugar spike if you're going to eat something like veggie before you eat anything else. And I think it definitely, if it's achievable, people are more likely to stick to it. And they're more likely to enjoy it as well. It's not going to be such a chore.
Yeah, 100%. And if they understand it and then see the results, that's what everyone wants, right? They want to not have bloating. They want to have, you know, not to have to worry about their bowel movements on a day-to-day basis, not be sat in the toilet straining for, you know, hours on end. They want to not have huge anxiety spikes. So if they can have things that are achievable, and that they understand why it's working, then they see the outcome of that, then it's that's where the empowerment lies, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I agree. Well, we are out of time. How can people connect with you if they want to listen to your podcast? Are you on all of the podcast apps? Give us some information.
You go, babe.
Yeah, okay. I was waiting for you to talk. Yeah, I don't want to dominate the conversation. Yeah, so we're everywhere you can find your podcast or reputable players. We're on Apple, Spotify, everywhere, basically. So you can find us by searching the search bar for Teaching My Friend Nutrition. And we are the Acne, Anxiety and Gut Health Specialist by Teaching My Friend Nutrition. And that's where you can find us and give us a listen.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me and sharing your expertise and your experience. It's truly invaluable, and it's so nice to connect with another podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been so nice having us on. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been really nice. Thank you so much for your time and giving us the opportunity to come on your show. And it's been really nice to chat to you, Marion.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. If you found this episode helpful, would you do me a favor and help others find it by leaving a review, sharing a screenshot on social media, or sharing the link with a friend? By you sharing what you've learned, others are able to find this podcast and join our community. Be sure to check out my website, www.roadtolivingwhole.com, for over 160 delicious recipes, a variety of meal plans, and a blog packed full of even more healthy living tips. If you'd like to learn more about how to work with me as your coach, you can schedule a free consult through www.roadtolivingwhole.com/health-coaching/. Until next time, friend. Bye.